This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, let us get started, inshallah. Okay, so today we are going to discuss, last time we were discussing in our study of the Quran of Surah Al-Baqarah, what we were studying was that the covenant of Bani Israel, how their covenant, right, their pact with Allah, what they promised that they will do, is very similar to what we promise we you know, as part of our religion, right? Worship Allah only, be good to parents, to be good to relatives and the orphans, needy, to speak good words to people, establish the prayer, give zakat. But unfortunately, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Like Allah says, but most of you turned away, right? As I'll show you right here. Right, like right here, as you can see. But with the exception of a few, you turned away in aversion and paid no heed. So this is, you know, unfortunately, the case with Bani Israel. That's how they acted. They were doing, see, their attitude towards Islam was that they would act the opposite of what they would claim. They would promise one thing, do the other. Not all of them. There's a few of them who did not do this. Not all people were bad, but there was a large number of them that were bad. And they were doing things that were contradictory. This is, you know, contrary to our theme. Remember our theme? The theme of the surah is submission to Allah without compromise. And this attitude, right, is the attitude that allows a person or that prevents a person, excuse me, from submitting to Allah without compromise. This isn't, you know, this is a problem then. Okay, so this is who they were. Now, after this, Allah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right, the best way to submit to Allah is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he mentions him next in the surah. Now, it's actually quite fitting that today we're going to talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who, as we will see, raised the foundations of the Kaaba, raised the foundations of the Kaaba, and it is he who established the tradition of Hajj. He's the one who established the tradition of the Hajj. He is the one who all of our religion, all of our practice of Islam goes back to his way, the way of Ibrahim. Okay, so this was very timely that we're today talking about Ibrahim al-Islam. He is the showing the best way to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We started by looking at this ayah, right? When Allah tested Abraham with certain commands and he fulfilled them, right? He fulfilled all of them, and that was a very important very important characteristic of Ibrahim, that he fulfilled the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the fullest. And that is, you know, the best way to submit, right? It is that when Allah tests us, we fulfill the test that he is testing us by. If he is, you know, if there's some difficulty in life, it's not because Allah doesn't like us or something. It's actually because this is Allah's test to see how strong of a believer we are. And the stronger you are, the more tests you fulfill, the better a person becomes. And Ibrahim al-Islam became the top of humanity, right? Like at the very highest level of humanity, because he was tested. And every time he was tested, he fulfilled the test. And that was that he's showing us that's the best way to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that was our introduction to our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, also Allah says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, also mentioned with him is the the house. What is the house? Al-bayta. إِذْ جَعَلْنَا al-bayta. What is al-bayt? The house.
The Kaaba.
Bayt al-haram. Masjid
al-haram. Indeed, right? The Kaaba. Very good. So that is the one of the part of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He made the house a place of assembly. A place of assembly, meaning it is a place where people gather for all humanity. Wa amnan, and a sanctuary, a place where people can feel safe. And we said, make the place where Abraham stood a place of worship. Maqamu Ibrahim, or min maqam Ibrahim. You know where Maqam Ibrahim is, people? I'll show you a picture of Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam
Ibrahim. It's beside the Kaaba.
Besides the Kaaba, yes. So this is the Baytul Haram right here, right? This is Al-Baytul Haram, the Kaaba, right? And right next to the Kaaba, right next to it, or right, not next to it, but more like in front of it, is where Maqam Ibrahim is. You see, like, it's kind of like in front. I'm going to see if I can get a better shot of this. So this is a good shot. See, like this one right here, you can see this is the Kaaba, and right there in this little golden casing is Maqam Ibrahim. And what Maqam Ibrahim looks like is the following. It looks like this. It looks like two footprints. Okay, you can see. Okay, hold on. Okay, how about now? Okay, can you see now? Okay, so what it looks like, again, Maqam Ibrahim is, if you look at it, this is the picture of Maqam. This is how the Kaaba is, and right next to it is Maqam Ibrahim, very, very close to it. And inside of it, it has this, these footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam. See, this is a good image that shows where Maqam Ibrahim is located and what is really in it, right? This is a good chart. This is the Kaaba, and this is how far Maqam Ibrahim was or is from it. The inside of it is this. The what we know about Maqam Ibrahim is this is the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam stood up. This is the place where he stood up. What did he do standing up here? Well, when he stood up here, he proclaimed, he called people to Hajj. Okay, what we find in the books of tafsir, in the books of history, is Ibrahim alayhi salam raised the foundations of the Kaaba, meaning the foundations of the Kaaba were set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from even before the Kaaba was made. That place was a sacred place since the beginning of the creation of the earth. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was the man who was honored by raising the foundations of the Kaaba and making it into the structure that we know of it today. Then when he finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, tell people to make Hajj, announce the Hajj. So what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? He stood up on this area, this spot, this little rock, and he announced to the people, "Oh people, Allah has made Hajj mandatory for you, for Hujju. So make Hajj." And then what we know is that, and this is authentically narrated, this is sound narration, like this is a fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since there was not many people around when he was doing this, very few people lived in the area, what Allah did is that he sent the souls of the people who were going to be born, not yet born, but they were going to be born. The souls of those people were sent to reply to the command of Ibrahim or to the invitation of Ibrahim, and they would say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. They responded by that. And that is where the talbiyah comes from. You know the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. That is the place where when Ibrahim alayhi salam announced it, that was the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. And this shows to us that sometimes you don't have to worry about how, like, you worry about yourself. Ibrahim alayhi salam was focused on what he had to do. He was focused on making or raising the Kaaba. He wasn't worried about who's going to come here, how will people show up here, it's too hot, this, that, and the other. No, he just focused on his task, and the rest he left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah took care of everything else, put in place the systems, the people that allowed this to happen. And this is for us one thing to learn from the amazing sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when you are doing something for the sake of Allah, right, and if Allah tests you with something and you pass that test and you do a good job, then Allah will take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about anything. He will take care of things in a way you never imagined. And this is part of the amazing grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّى, make the place where Abraham stood a place of worship. This is a beautiful thing. To this day, after you make tawaf, you pray two rak'ahs. And when you pray two rak'ahs at the end of tawaf, you are supposed to pray it facing Maqam Ibrahim. So you kind of stand like right here and you face the Kaaba, right? Of course, if there's a crowd, you can't pray there. But then you move back. And you pray somewhere where there is a spot facing Maqam Ibrahim and facing the Kaaba. That is how we're supposed to pray. And that is what this ayah means. And this is a commemoration. To this day, we commemorate the invitation of Ibrahim by praying at the place where he made that invitation. How amazing is that? How many thousands of years have passed? Yet this is the tradition that is established. Okay. Look at also what Allah says. Okay, let's have a volunteer. I think the link expired for the Zoom. Is that right? Like, because I think usually people come out a bit more, but I think the link has expired. Obviously you guys are here, but it seemed like if you register for the meeting, what does it say? No, it doesn't. Okay. Allahu alam. I think maybe it says I use the meeting code. Okay, good. All right. I'll fix the link, inshallah. I'll have Sister Zainab send another email about it. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to that later. All right. A volunteer. Can I get one person?
Okay. I'll do it.
Abdurrahman, can you read from here?
Arabic or English?
The English. We command it.
Oh, we commanded Abraham and Ishmael, purify my house for those who walk around it, those who stay there for devotion, and those who bow down and prostrate themselves.
Amazing. Okay. What is the command that Allah gave to Ibrahim after that he made the Kaaba?
Purify it, like make it clean and...
Purify. Purify meaning to what?
Clean it.
To clean it, right? What is Allah is telling who? Who are the people he's telling this to?
Ibrahim and Ismail.
Ibrahim and Ismail, right? These are the two of the top prophets, yes or no?
Yes.
Allah tells the two top prophets after they have built the Kaaba to do what?
To purify it.
Purified, in other words, to
clean it.
Clean the masjid. Isn't that amazing? You see, that is a task that is not beneath anybody.
It's noble.
It's a noble task. We shouldn't think that something is beneath us, or something is not. We're too good for it. This is anybody can do it. We're too good for this. That's not. If Allah tells us to do something, it is not beneath us. It is not something that is, too small, or it's something that is, insignificant. No, it is significant. It is important. Ibrahim and Ismail could clean, were told to clean the masjid. As part of our faith, we keep ourselves clean. We keep our bodies clean, our clothes clean. We keep our surroundings clean. We keep our places of worship clean. Okay? This is part of our religion from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Do you see this, O people? How cool is this? Right? How important it is. What are we told right now in these times? Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, right? Be very clean. Our religion has been teaching us to be clean from the time of Ibrahim. From the time of Ibrahim. Okay? We commanded Abraham and Ishmael, purify my house. Okay? So this is a beautiful thing that Allah, commands him. Okay? He commands him, commanded to build or raise the foundations of the Kaaba. Commanded to call people, invite people to Hajj when there's nobody there. Commanded to purify my house. Okay? Look at how what Allah is telling Ibrahim al-Salam to do. This is the best way to submit. Whatever is asked of you, you do it. That is what submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without compromise means. Okay, Ibrahim al-Salam. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us another beautiful glimpse of his life. Can I get another volunteer to read this for me?
I'll do it.
All right, Jafar, go ahead.
And when Abraham and Ismail were laying the foundations of the house, they prayed, "Our Lord, accept this from us, for you are all hearing, all knowing."
Excellent, right? Ibrahim and Ismail, what are they doing now? They are raising the foundations of the Kaaba. What does that mean? That means that they are... What does raising the foundation mean? Can someone help me out here?
Building it. Building it.
Okay. Building it. Excellent, right? Building the Kaaba. They're building the Kaaba. What are they doing as they're building the Kaaba? What is it that they're doing as they're building the Kaaba? What does the ayah say?
They're praying to Allah for him to accept.
Amazing. As they are building the most holy structure in the world, the Kaaba, right? Look at the humility. They are praying that Allah accepts from them, right? This is what submission to Allah without compromise means. You have humbleness. What do you have? Which characteristic do you have? Right. Let's go back to the characteristics that we were adding. Okay. Humility and humbleness. Not thinking too highly of yourself. Not thinking that you're too important. Or too good to do something. To not think that, since you've done something good in the past, now everything else, like you don't have to do as much good anymore. No. Humility, as Ibrahim al-Salam teaches us, is even when he's building the most important building in the world, he's still praying to Allah, "Oh Allah, accept, oh Allah, accept. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim." This shows humility, right? This shows humility. Ibrahim al-Salam also makes a dua for somebody. Who did Ibrahim al-Salam make dua for? Look at this ayah and tell me, who is he making dua for? Let's have somebody to read the translation for me. Let's have... Hassan, go ahead, Hassan.
"Our Lord sent forth to them a messenger of their own to recite your revelations to them, to teach them the scripture and wisdom, and purify them. You are the mighty, the wise one."
All right. So who is Ibrahim alayhi salam making dua for in this ayah?
His ummah.
Okay, let's see. Who is Ibrahim alayhi salam, making dua for. All right, we said we have his ummah, very good, right? What else? Who specifically? A messenger of their own. Who's
Prophet
that?
Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? You see that? In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that I am the response to the dua of my father Ibrahim. And what was that dua? This one right here. This was the dua that Ibrahim alayhi sallam made. And as a response to that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last prophet for all of mankind. And the way we know this is about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is because he is, there's two things here. Number one, he's making this dua as he's doing what? As he is?
Building the Kaaba.
Building the Kaaba. And who's with him? Who's with him as he's making this dua?
Ismail alayhi salam.
Ah, it's him and Ismail, isn't it? Right? It's Ismail and Ibrahim, right? And Ismail is who in this family tree? He is the ancestor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isn't it right? So that is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this also shows you how the best way to submit to Allah is, part of that is to make dua to Allah for everything. Dua that you will see the answer for now. Dua that you will see the answer, probably you won't see the answer for, because it's for something in the future after you pass away, right? Dua is made for everything and all situations, all circumstances. It is a beautiful thing. It is the way we connect ourselves to Allah. And that is the way of Ibrahim. Allah says about the way of Ibrahim, who but a foolish man would turn away from the religion of Abraham? Like who, the person who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim is a foolish person. We say as Muslims that our religion, Islam, is actually the revival of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's what we believe. That's who we are. Millata Ibrahim, the way of Abraham. And this, the Dhul Hijjah, Hajj, the sacrifice on Eid al-Adha, right? Qurbani or Udhiyah. These are all what? These are all practices of who? Practices of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? He was the one who initiated them. He's the one who did them first, and then people messed it up, and then the Prophet many centuries later came and fixed it and made it the way it was when Ibrahim alayhi salam did it. This is our religion. Did you know that? It is supposed to be a return back to the way of Ibrahim, following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that the best way to submit to Allah is through the example of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about who? He spoke about Bani Israel. He spoke about Ibrahim. Who do you think is next that he speaks about?
Isa and Musa, maybe.
Well, Isa and Musa are kind of covered, but now the topic should be, it moves to us. It moves to us as Muslims right now. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you a middle nation. What do you think a middle nation means? Okay. We are, our responsibilities are highlighted here, starting from ayah number 143. This is the ayah that starts the discussion of who we are, a middle nation. I like you to tell me this. What does a middle nation mean, in your opinion? What do you all think?
Like the expectations are not too low or too high.
Okay. Expectations are in the middle, huh?
Yeah.
Not too low, not too high. I like that, Abdulrahman. That's very good. Somebody else.
Could it be that you are like the middle nation? There were people before you that you should follow, and there will be people after you who will follow you.
Okay, very good. People you should follow from before, right? Let me change this, like your answers. I will change it to like a different color just so that they stand out. Mashallah. that there. People you should follow from before, right? And people will follow you afterwards, right? So that's a good one. It's kind of like we're in the middle of all of this. Okay. Not completely good. Not completely good nor evil. Okay. Okay. So that's very nice. Kind of similar to this one, right? Expectations. Yes. What else? Any other thoughts? A middle nation. Isra, yes, go ahead.
Kind of like a middle ground, like not exactly like the people before, but like not exactly like the people after either.
Excellent, right? A middle ground. So mashallah, beautiful answers. These are really, really awesome answers, okay? What we are now told, because now, from now onwards in the surah, Allah will speak about us, our responsibilities. He spoke about people who made mistakes. Who were those in the surah before?
Banu Israel,
right? Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, Allah spoke about those who made mistakes. Firstly, it was Adam alayhi salam, right? Yes or no? Did he make a mistake?
Yes.
He did, right? Also, he spoke about Bani Israel. Correct? Then Allah spoke about the one who was as close to perfection as possible, like humanly possible. Who's that?
Ibrahim alayhi salam.
That's Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? So we are told, we are in the middle. We're not expected to be like Bani Israel, who just made mistakes. Our middle ground, right? Middle ground means we are not expected to be as good as Ibrahim alayhi salam or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? We're not expected to be at that level. Okay? But we are also not expected, or supposed to just keep making mistakes without learning from them, right? We're supposed to submit without compromise.
And we are supposed to make mistakes.
Huh?
You have to write, we are also not supposed, not, you said, you wrote, we are also supposed to.
Also not supposed, thank you, Abdurrahman. Right? Like Bani Israel, right? Yes or no? So what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to submit without compromise to Allah, like Ibrahim. That's what it's supposed to be. Submit to Allah without compromise, like Ibrahim. But not, you know, like, but expect to make mistakes. Like Adam alayhi salam made one mistake, right? That is our middle ground. We're going to make mistakes. We have to learn from our mistakes. That mistakes doesn't mean that we're not submitting to Allah without compromise. Okay? We're not supposed to, we can't be like Ibrahim, who was, you know, the top of humanity along with the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? But at the same time, we are supposed to aspire to be like him. We're supposed to try to be like him. For us, when we make a mistake, we are supposed to, so number one, make tawbah is repentance, and number two, learn from the mistake so we don't do it again. You see, if the mistake happens again, it's again a mistake. Same thing applies. Make tawbah, learn from it, try not to do it again. Again, it happened. Make tawbah, learn from the mistake, try again. Try again until you learn the lesson. That is the middle ground for us. Okay? The middle ground, you know, unlike Bani Israel, who would make a mistake and say, well, that's how we are. That you cannot ever be like that. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to sin. As long as these two things keep happening every single time. Tawbah, oh Allah, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm going to try my best to not do it again. I'm going to try my best to not make that mistake again. This is what we're expected to be. This is the middle ground that we are supposed to be at. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Do you see it, people? Yes or no? One big test that Allah mentions that the believers went through related to the Kaaba is the changing of the Qibla. Okay? So when the Prophet ﷺ used to, when he started praying initially, when he first received revelation, he would face Baytul Maqdis. You know where Baytul Maqdis is?
Palestine,
in Jerusalem. Okay? Yeah. That was the first Qibla. Why was that the first Qibla? Because that was the Qibla of many prophets. Many prophets. And the Prophet ﷺ was in the following the footsteps of those prophets before. Okay? Then when the Prophet ﷺ went from Mecca to Medina. Let me make like a small diagram here for you. Okay? Let me make a diagram here for you so you can see. All right. So, can you see the whiteboard?
Yes.
All right. Here, imagine here on the map is Mecca. What's here? Mecca. This is facing north, okay? You with me, people? Where's Medina? South or north? What do you think?
North.
Medina is north. Okay. I'm making it like a simplified diagram, okay? Medina is north. Where is Jerusalem? Baytul Maqdis. North of Medina?
Northwest of
North, but kind of like over here, okay? Right here is Jerusalem. Oh. You got it? Okay, so Jerusalem is called Baytul Maqdis, the holy place, the holy house, because it is a sanctified thing. Medina is Al-Madina, Al-Madina literally means the city. And when you say the city, whose city is that? The city of the Prophet, right? It's literally called the city because it's the city of the Prophet. You with me, people? All right. So when the Prophet was in Mecca, he would and then see like the Kaaba is like, say the Kaaba is in Mecca. Here's the Kaaba, just as an example. Okay, here's the Kaaba. All right. Now, if the Prophet wanted to pray facing Baytul Maqdis, can he face the Kaaba and face Baytul Maqdis? Can he do that?
Can.
He could, yes. Right? He could face something like this way, right? He could face this way. And when he's facing this way, that's not a very good diagram. Like he's facing this way maybe, right? He could face the Kaaba and face Jerusalem, correct? But then when the Prophet ﷺ went from Mecca to Medina, and now Baytul Maqdis, can he do the same thing?
No.
No, right? Now when he's praying, he's facing Baytul Maqdis and his back is turned to the Kaaba. You see the problem? Now, the Prophet ﷺ knew that the Kaaba is built by who?
Built by
Ibrahim. And what is our religion? Our religion is the revival of Ibrahim's religion. The revival of Ibrahim's way. Right? Yes or no? Like, I mean, when I say religion, all like the religion of Ibrahim al-Islam is Islam, okay? But it's the revival of his millah, his way, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ wanted that we face Mecca when we pray, the Kaaba, because that was the house built by who?
Ibrahim and Ismail.
Ibrahim al-Islam and Ismail al-Islam, right? So that is what he wanted to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, can the Prophet ﷺ just make decisions by himself, or he has to wait for Allah's revelation? Does he just do whatever he wants, or does he only do what Allah commands him to do?
Only does what Allah commands
him. He does what Allah commands him to do. Okay, so now look at this. Right? Now look at this. Where Allah says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Let's have a volunteer. I'll read the Arabic. I need a volunteer to read the English. Let's see. Somebody who hasn't read yet. How about Isra? Isra, are you for it?
I'll read.
Abdul Rahman, you already read, man.
I can read.
Do I read the English or the Arabic?
Abdul Rahman, how about I read the Arabic and Isra will read the English. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Abdul Rahman. All right, Isra, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ.
We have frequently seen you turn your face towards heaven.
Ah, towards heaven here means what?
In prayers.
So, as-samaa, by the way, heaven in English, if you didn't know, actually means, well, not this, whatever that song is. Heaven actually, in English, I'll show you in the dictionary, actually means the sky. Hold on. Where is it? Dictionary. Definition. Look at this. This is important, by the way, because this comes in the Quran a lot. Heaven. Oh, I don't want to donate to you. Stop it. All right. Look at this. The expanse of space that seems to be over the earth like a dome. What is this? The sky, right? Yes or no? The sky in English is also called heaven. Did you know that?
No.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. But heaven with a capital H, that is paradise or Jannah. Do you see? Do you understand this? Let me, because I want to make this clear, because Heaven, this is paradise, capital H. Heaven with a small h equals what?
Sky.
The sky. Okay, very good. Tell me, in this ayah, what is it referring to?
The sky.
The sky. The sky. The Prophet is looking up to the sky. Why is he looking up to the sky?
In prayer.
In prayer, but he's looking up. Good answer. He's looking up to see if his prayer is accepted. How is his prayer accepted? Jibreel alayhi salam is coming with the command that changed the Qibla, face Makkah. So he's constantly looking. He's looking again and again, waiting for the response of his dua. And finally, Allah answers by saying, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Isra.
So we will make you turn in a direction for prayer that will please you.
فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ.
So turn your face now towards the sacred mosque.
The sacred mosque is?
The Kaaba.
The Kaaba, right? وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ.
And wherever you may be, turn your faces towards it.
وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ.
Those who were given the book know this to be the truth from their Lord.
وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ.
God is not unaware of what they do.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you very much, Isra. So now, what happens? Now the Prophet ﷺ is told at this point that you no longer have to pray facing Baytul Maqdis. You pray facing what?
Kaaba.
Facing the Kaaba. And that is when this change happened. Okay? This is a monumental occasion in our history, a very important occasion in our history. Okay, why is it so important? Well, it's important for a couple of reasons. Let me highlight that for you. Oops. Number one, right? I'm going to write this for you so that we can the change of the Qibla. This is a very important, it's a very important aspect of like the Muslims are responsibilities, right? The change of Qibla. Firstly, it was all right, how's it now? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
It's good? Okay. So originally the Prophet ﷺ used to face Jerusalem for prayer, right? As the direction of the prayer. In Mecca, that was no problem, right? In Medina, that meant he had to turn his back on the Kaaba. Yes or no? So he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayed a lot. He prayed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Allah to change the direction of prayer to what? To the Kaaba. Now, the beautiful thing is that you might think this is not a big deal, but here are some important things. Number one, some lessons. The Prophet ﷺ could not just do whatever he wanted. It shows you the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would say or do something about Islam, it was actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because if he wanted to, he could just turn around and start praying this way, right? Yes or no? And people would still follow him, right?
Yes.
But this shows to you that the sunnah, the Prophet's statements, his actions, are not just his, like it's not his own doing. It is actually from Allah, the Sunnah, the Prophet's Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's actions are also divinely inspired by Allah. Number two, Allah says that this is something he did as a way to please the Prophet qiblatan tardaha, a direction for prayer that will please you. This is very important because this is the way, this is the house that Ibrahim built, right? And this is more in sync with who we are as Muslims. Our identity as Muslims goes back to our Prophet whose identity goes back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. You see, so this is actually more in sync with that. And lastly, Allah says something very interesting. Those who were given the book, who are these? Bani Israel. Those who were given the book, i.e. Bani Israel. What about them? They know this to be the truth from their Lord. What Allah is saying is Bani Israel knew this was going to happen. This was already in their books. It was already mentioned in previous revelation. They knew beforehand, in previous revelation, that the Qibla of the final prophet will not be Jerusalem. It will be what? It will be Makkah. This was an amazing thing because now it tells you that as Muslims now, we are the ones who are the last nation of that Allah sent revelation to. Our Qibla is the final Qibla. Our Prophet ﷺ is the final prophet. The way of the law of the Quran and Sunnah is the final law of all the revealed laws that Allah had revealed before. This is the final one. So this move cemented that. It cemented that, and that's why it's such an important incident. After this, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that our responsibilities as Muslims. What are our responsibilities as Muslims when we are, to really live up to the billing, right? Like now, like Allah says that we are the ones who are the last, nation with the final revelation, the final prophet, the final Qibla. All of this is us, right? So is there now something expected of us? Do we have, does Allah have expectations? Does Allah have expectations from us? Like, do we have to live up to this? Yes or no? Yes or no, people?
Yes.
There are expectations. There's big expectations of us that Allah, has because we are the last nation, the final revelation, the last prophet, the final Qibla. Yeah, what are these expectations, right? Of course, yes, there is expectations. Number one expectation that Allah has of us. Look at what it says. All right. I'm gonna do this and then we'll stop here. I see Arham is here. Alhamdulillah. Arham, would you like to read the Arabic and let's have Hanif. Can you read the English?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين.
We shall certainly test you with fear and hunger, and loss of property, lives and crops. Give good news to those who endure with fortitude.
Go ahead, Arham.
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Those who say, when afflicted with a calamity, we belong to God and to Him we shall return.
Last ayah.
أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
Are the ones who will have blessings and mercy from their Lord. It is they who are on the right path.
Amazing. Thank you very much, guys. Jazakumullah khairan. So what is it that this passage, what is Allah's expectation? What is Allah's expectation? As you read in this passage, can you tell me in one word?
Faith.
Faith, very good.
Patience.
Patience. That's expectation number one. Patience when what happens? Good. Something good happens, something bad happens?
Something bad.
Something bad happens. Something bad or disastrous. You know what disastrous means?
Musiba.
Musiba. It's a disaster. Like it's...
like someone having COVID-19.
Yes, that is a disaster as well, right? Something bad or disastrous happens. What is it that we're supposed to be? Patient. And not just patient like, just, you know, like you're angry and you're patient. No, no. You say, you express your patience in the most beautiful way. How? By saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." By saying that we are Allah's, we belong to Him. We shall return to Him. If He does something good to us, that's part of His plan. If He does something bad to us, that is part of His plan. That is what it means to be on the right path. It is those who are on the right path. That is Allah's expectation. Okay. Next week, inshallah, which is going to be our week like before Eid, and then we'll take a break for Eid. We will go through the expectations that Allah has of us that He lays out in Surah Al-Baqarah for us as the final nation, the final ummah, the followers of the final prophet. Yeah? This is like, you see how Surah Al-Baqarah starts at the beginning with Adam. Then those who make mistakes, Bani Israel, didn't learn from them. Then the highlight, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and now us, finally, we're trying to be like Ibrahim. You see? And what are the expectations we have? Well, the next whole juz is about that. Okay, inshallah? All right. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. Thank you for coming out. Inshallah.